Okay. A couple of years down the road, you wake up, you stretch your fucking body across that not king size bed, super king size bed.
Like a California king? Or is it
A
even
Calif
bigger than that?
it's like a California emperor.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's a big bed. This seems like a specially custom-made bed.
Kind of. So what happens is you wake up, you stretch, you crack a, your fucking toes.
Okay.
They all crack one right after the other. Like they both start, you start with your pinky and then like move in so that they all crack and they come to a head. Kind of as a triangle hitting your big toes at the exact same time.
Oh, okay. So I'm popping pairs and moving
Popping pairs of,
inwards.
yeah, popping pairs of toes, basically.
All right. Is that any
You go
like
like
reason
this.
why I'm
You
doing
go,
this?
and every time you do it, you go like this. You go pop, 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 pop. And out loud, you say, oh, yeah. And you're
Oh, that
like,
sucks.
and you kind of think to yourself, like, that was fucking dumb. But nothing is going to spoil your mood, my friend. You look around that fucking bedroom of yours, you realize it's your first morning in your brand new house
Brand new house. So
that
I
you
bought
own.
a that I own.
You
Oh,
own a house in LA.
wow.
You have been doing like very well on like merch sales.
Yeah, what am I selling?
So you got inspired. You were for a while there, you were you did a few gigs opening up for this guy. He goes by Smelvis. He's
What the
an
fuck,
elf
Pat?
he's an Elvis impersonator and he sells scented candles. And so his thing
Oh
is
my
like,
God.
he goes around and he's like, hey, you should buy my scented candles, Jack. And so he has like one of them is called the Cadillac. One of them is called peanut butter,
What's it smell
banana
like?
sam. It smells like the inside of a brand new Cadillac.
Oh, it's like a new car smell kind of candle.
It's a new car smell, but you would recognize that Cadillac smell anywhere. That's how distinct this fucking candle is. He
This
sells,
sucks.
no, it's cool. Because he's like, because
Smell
his whole thing.
this? His name is Smell This?
Yeah, you're like, that's kind of funny. He's a cool guy. Like, you know him off stage. He's just like, yeah, this is like kind of dumb. But, basically what he does is he rents out like Mason halls and public spaces and shit like that. And his thing is that he does an Elvis act and then he sells scented candles afterward. And
Man.
he has you open for him. And the thing is, here's the deal. It is kind of corny. Like
Yeah.
when you first hear about smell this, you're like, I don't know about this guy. But first of all, you smell those candles, and one of them is called like one of them is called Freshly Shot Revolver.
Jesus Christ. It smells like the smoke of a revolver.
Of El the
Like
smoke of
gunpowder.
El of Elvis's, yeah, revolver. And there's just a hint of strawberry. So you're
Why
kind of
does it all
impressed by the
smell like
candles.
fruit?
And you're sort of like so you're impressed by the candles. And like, you see his act, and it's him doing an Elvis impersonation, and he tells like some jokes and stuff, but it's mostly him playing music. And his like he's singing along to like a pre-recorded track. And
Okay.
he does like every era of Elvis. He
Yeah.
does the rockabilly one.
Yeah.
And he's like, he tells you off stage, he's like, yeah, man, I wish, he's like, you know what? Like, I just wish more people, Elvis impersonators, focused on his early stuff, the rockabilly stuff, which in my opinion is the best stuff. He's like, you know, I'm going to do the hits, obviously, but, you know, I just wish people, my fellow, you know, Elvis impersonators, you know, paid more, a little bit more attention to that. So he does that.
I don't give two shits about the politics of Elvis impersonators. I could not care less about anything.
Well, you know, you guys have like long, you know, drives and you guys get to know each other, you know. And he goes, what a look,
fucking a boring conversation.
You think so?
Yeah, man.
You don't want to learn about his process?
Fuck no. You know, I'm not like an Elvis guy.
Sure.
I don't care.
So you just sort of like tune him out when he talks about the process and he doesn't notice. You know what I mean? He just kind of like talks. He's a nice enough guy, but you know, he just kind of talks. And so he does every era of Elvis, the rockabilly stuff. He does, you know,
Church Elvis.
Yeah, but yeah, Fat Elvis, Vegas Comeback Elvis, which in your opinion Army is like Elvis. The best. That's the best one that he does. Yeah, he does Army Elvis, Surfer Elvis.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Yeah. He also, like, not at every show, but like one of the shows, he has like a Nixon impersonator come out and they reenact that like weird photo of like them together.
Oh, that's strange. Smell this.
So then afterward, he sells his scented candles and you're going to open for him basically.
Okay, I'll do comedy in front of Smelvis.
Sure.
But I'm not fucking with his merch. I'm not lugging around a suitcase full of scented candles for him. I'm not doing that shit. I'm there to do stand-up.
He doesn't ask you to. He has a guy that helps him with that and sells
same
merch.
Guy, this Nixon guy?
No, actually. But
this guy has a crew.
He has a crew, yeah. This guy actually dresses up like Colonel, what was his name? Colonel Tom Parker or whatever that guy's name was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
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 Like on stage and off stage. He's not in character off stage, but he always like dresses like him.
That sucks.
So it's you, Smelvis, and the Colonel. And so you guys, you know, you drive around, you end up doing actually like five or six gigs for him in like the California, you know, area.
Yeah. Are they fun?
The gigs themselves, yeah, I mean, you find a way to make them fun, you know? They're okay. Not, most of them go fine. There's one that doesn't go very well, but most of them, go fine. The one that didn't go well is you guys rented out this, what do you call them? Like an elk lodge in Northern California.
Yeah.
It was called the NoCal Elk Lodge for winners. And so they rent that out, but they it's accidentally double booked. And it was supposed to be a bunch of like kids getting their like martial arts awards. And so they show up the same time as you. You guys, you know, you kind of get into it a little bit. And then you guys basically, your compromise is, okay, we're going to go first. And then like the karate kids can go up or whatever. Like you're kind of dismissive. And so, and they're like, okay, fine. But like they stay and watch the show and they fucking ruin that show for you, dude. They don't heckle, but their negative energy is so intense that like you can tell that like people are not laughing because of them. Just their mere presence.
How does Smelvis do?
Oh, Smelvis is great. They love Smelvis.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're there for him. That makes sense.
Yeah. And so basically you learn from watching him sell these scented candles that like, you know, the merch is where it's at and he says to you at one point, and you know, like I said, normally you just kind of tune him out. You just like, you know, look outside and watch the, you know, the mountains of California, you know, soar past your eyes. But at one point you're kind of listening and he says like, look, dude, like here's what I did. I took the two things that I'm best at and I married them together. Like, what does Elvis have to do with scented candles? Nothing. But I can do an Elvis impersonation and I sell great candles. So I just took some, you know, I took two things I loved and I put them together, you know?
Good. Look, I'm not questioning like this guy's work ethic. I believe I've worked with a lot of fucking people who had bad gimmicks, but like made them work.
He goes, and then you put them together. It's like cookies and cream. Hey,
I don't want to just be a human being around me.
He goes, sorry, man. Sometimes I slip into Elvis, you know?
Also, I'm his opener. Why am I making these demands of him? Why isn't he just like, shut the fuck up. You're never working with me again.
He's just like, I got nothing against
Smelvis. I got nothing against him. Is he just kind of like naturally defensive because he gets it? That is a dumb fucking idea. Okay.
He knows it's dumb. And his whole thing is like, you know, it's, you know, I try to balance the art with the business side, Jack, but it's hard to do. And you can tell he's not ashamed of himself, but he's definitely like, you know, he goes, you know what, Aaron, if I could go back in my life and just change one thing, it'd be this name Smelvis. He goes, that's the only problem. He goes, I'm too well known as Smelvis. And he is. He has commercials that play on like TV and stuff like that. Yeah, he bought one for the NBA finals for like specifically for game 7, but like it only went to 5 games. So it was never shown. He was pretty pissed off about it, and he just put it on the internet. And it's a commercial where it's just like him, the silhouette of him from behind in his full Elvis regalia. And
yeah, collar popped up, big pompadour, that the whole thing.
Fucking A, dude.
Okay, cool.
And he like turns and looks over his shoulder, then like snaps his finger. Bunch of these fucking candles just suddenly go whoosh. They suddenly all catch fire.
Elvis controls flames.
Well, Smelvis does.
Sorry, Smelvis. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. How dare I?
Right. And he's like, hey. It just says, Smelvis. And it says, there's like a QR code and stuff and has the different candles. And so there, a lot of them are Elvis themes. A lot of them. But
wait. The Super Bowl ad he buys is silhouette of him looking over NBA his shoulder. Game. Yeah. And all he says is, hey.
Yeah. That's and it. People. Yeah. So people are like, holy shit.
Man. It
helped. And so
play the game. They only went to 5.
Yeah. But he put it on YouTube and then like a big stink about it. And so it kind of became like he put. Yeah. Yeah. HHHHEEEYYY.com. Normally he just gives out like a QR thing, you know?
Yeah, you'd have to. Yeah.
Every time you see him, the first time you see him, he always goes, Aaron, hey.
It's a Smelvis. Hey. I give it back to him.
He laughs. He loves it.
Well, good. He seems like a nice enough dude.
He is.
He's making a living as like a comedian in the Midwest. Or essentially.
Well, in Midwest, but he's doing his California tour.
Yeah.
And you're along for the ride. You do like 5 of these gigs. He's
what's his real name?
Otis.
Okay.
Otis Swade.
I would try to refer to him as Otis as much as possible.
Oh yeah, I mean he doesn't expect you to. I mean it's not like he's in character all the time or whatever. He's just when he's on stage, he's Smelvis. But he's Smelvis. I mean, you guys don't have any interaction on stage really, so there's no need.
Okay, good.
And at all of his at every single show that he's done, he goes after you bring him on and they play like that They play that song where it's like, are you looking for trouble? You came to the right blues place. Riff.
Yeah.
And you just go like before this music starts playing, you're like, ladies and gentlemen, you know who you're here to see. And then it goes boom, and like the lights go out and you just sort of fade away, you know, into the curtains or whatever.
Then it's his show.
Yeah. And then like the lights come on at the part where he goes, my daddy was a green mountain cat. And everyone's like,
and then
all of those fucking, all these candles get lit up.
Even at the live show. These candles just illuminate on their own.
Yeah. Well, they're like, they're, it's part of the show. There's like pyrotechnic kind of thing. Yeah. He puts on a show, smell this. And then, he always goes, all right, everybody. How about my opener, Aaron Brooks? And then everyone in the crowd goes, hey, like that's how they like show respect for you.
Is that because of them or because of me?
Say again.
Is that because of them or because of me?
What do you mean?
Do I do something to cause that reaction, or is that what they would do for whoever was?
That's what they do. That's like, you know, his fans. Yeah.
What do they call themselves?
They call themselves the Jailhouse Rockers.
Okay.
So for the Jailhouse Rockers, that's like their thing is instead of like giving a round of applauses, they'll all go, hey, just like Smelvis does.
Yeah.
And so, and they do it to you at all five of these shows. And every time they do it, a fucking chill goes up your spine.
Yeah. That would feel really good.
Yeah. And then back down to your fucking taint.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's a very specific chill. And so you watch him sell his candles afterward and you see that he's like, dude, I make more money selling the fucking candles than I do doing these gigs.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, so just, you know, keep that in mind. He's like, you're a funny guy. You can probably come up with something. And you're like, yeah, maybe I could. So you decide you're going to start selling bumper stickers at your shows. And these are very well-written bumper stickers.
Yeah.
You sell stuff like that. You sell like socks. You sell like rings.
Rings.
Yeah. Socks, rings, bumper stickers.
What kind of rings are we talking here?
So these are rings that you basically just find on the internet and then, you know, resell them as, you know, like
I'm hawking rings at a merch table for a comedy show that I'm in. Are you fucking serious?
I mean, that's part of it. Yeah.
I'm reselling my rings that I'm buying off the internet.
You do that. You do, like I said, the bumpers. The bumper stickers.
I get merch.
Yeah. You start, the bumper stickers are kind of like the big dog though.
Yeah.
Especially because like bumper cars are actually like making a comeback.
Bumpies.
And so these bumper stickers that you sell, like a lot of people will put on, you know, the back of their bumper cars. These are basically bumper stickers that you can take off and put back on. So people will actually bring them with them to, you know, the bumper sticker or the bumper car, you know, parks or whatever.
It's like a magnet situation.
No, it's just a new type of like adhesive that the Lanolax Corporation put out where
you can strip it and reuse it.
Yes. Reusable adhesive. Yeah.
Oh man, that's wild.
Yeah. So you are, and I got to be honest with you, Aaron. These bumper stickers are selling like hotcakes.
Cool. How much are you selling them for?
You sell them for $10, and there's another QR code on it, and when people scan it, it goes to a picture of you just giving the finger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$10 for a fucking bumper sticker and a QR code of me flipping somebody off.
Yeah, it's for people who are like behind you, you know, and then they'll see the QR code and be like, what the heck? And they'll look at it, you giving them the finger, like, fuck you, you know?
Yeah, okay. I see its purpose now, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So a lot of these are, you know, very unusually hostile bumper stickers. And so when people are playing bumpies, they'll see this and be like, oh, they'll get so mad. They'll be like, where the fuck did they get these? And so you kind of become pretty well known in the bumper car community. The rings that you sell are not doing as well.
Oh, really? What a shock that I'm not able to flip a profit on these rings in a dim comedy club after people have had several drinks.
But after people, like, you know how drunk people are after these comedy shows. You know how drunk some of these people get. So yeah, they come out and they see them and they see these bumper stickers and they're like, oh, fuck. Yeah. You know, some of them reference your jokes. Some of them, but a lot of them are originals, and a lot of, you know, one of them,
it's like standalone pieces.
Yeah. One of them, says like, you know, how's my driving? And there's a phone number. And when people call it, it's a voice recording of you saying, I don't care. Fuck you. Like, that is a very popular one. People really like that one.
Yeah, that's funny.
And so you have sold so many of these that you're actually able to buy a house.
Man, that's a lot. Houses are super expensive, especially out here.
Yeah, this one was at like a discounted rate for sure.
Why? Why was this house discounted, Pat?
So it was the previous family that lived there. They all killed each other.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, like ate each other, and so
what? They ate each other.
Yeah, so there's this new like realty group where they sell these different homes and different buildings where like horrific, sometimes borderline supernatural events have happened that have kind of tainted the property. But people are like, like someone, you're living in a house where the family went crazy and killed each other, then ate each other. And you're like, whatever, like this price is crazy. And so they basically fix these things up, make them look like they did not look like before. You know what I mean? Obviously that everything's cleaned up, all the different tragedies. There's no like physical evidence or anything like that. None that you can see, at least. So you get it at a pretty good rate.
How much are we talking?
$17 large.
I'd be a fucking fool not to.
Right.
I'd be a fool not to.
And they go, so as you're like signing the deed or whatever, you figured out, you know, all kinds of stuff. They're like, all right, so do you want the story or do you not want to know? The agent who's helping you, Kevin Danvers is his name.
Yeah, I want to know. I want to know what the story is.
So he goes, all right. And so the story is that one day the dad just started talking about like how there's, you know, different worlds, and sometimes, you know, if you're smart enough, or alternately, strong enough, you can actually interact with these other worlds and stuff like that. And they're like, oh, that's an interesting idea, Dad. And he's like, it's not an idea. And he gets like really into that. He's into this. Yeah. And so he starts, introducing some Satanist activity, into their home. And it just seemed at first like, oh, it drives, the whole family crazy, and they start killing each other and eating each other. But it turns out that instead they all drank milk that was one day expired, and it just did something to their brain, and they went crazy. Yeah.
That's why you don't drink expired milk.
Yeah. So the Satanist thing really, didn't have much to do with it. That's what they say, at least. They're like, but just to be sure, we had a whole thing. We brought this this priest in, Father Benedict Orlando came in, and he did an exorcism, a just in case exorcism that they offer. And so we have cleared out, if there are any kind of weird Satanist stuff, we cleared them out. We actually brought in a priest from the Church of Satan, and he was like, yeah, dude, you guys are good to go.
Great. Thank you for taking all these completely necessary steps to sell this house for a pennies on the dollar.
Yeah. And so he's like, all right, man, thanks. The house is yours. The only thing is that, we got rid of most of the, of,
just
you know,
fucking
their
fit.
Well, hold on. We got rid of most of their physical belongings because of all the blood that was all over it and stuff like that. So that's most of it's gone. So you're going to have to like buy, your own,
what the fuck,
drawers and stuff like that. The only thing is that you have to keep the bed.
No, you can't fucking spring this bed on me at the last second.
But
you can't spring this on me.
And they go, well, you haven't seen the bed. And you look at it, and it is, like I said, a California emperor of a fucking bed. They have brand new jet black sheets. Tightly.
I'm not going to use the sheets of the previous homeowners.
No, they're brand new. And you look at it.
How do I know that?
Because they have the receipt. They're like, we put a new thing here. And they're like, look, I mean, and they're like, honestly, like go on, rub your hand on it. And you kind of run your hand along the sheets. And they're just so silky smooth that your entire body like goes, whoa, you kind of like slip onto like the entire bed. And you like, you kind of like flip over and land with like both hands behind your back, behind your head, and you're like
the Burt Reynolds pose.
Yeah. And before you know it, you have like a very quick little like cat nap. You fall asleep for like 5 minutes, and you wake up feeling refreshed.
So I slide into a Burt Reynolds pose and immediately fall asleep for a quick cat nap.
Very quick cat nap.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. And when you wake up, you kind of like yawn and you go like meow to yourself.
Man, I'm not going to go meow.
It was a cat.
I'm not going to wake.
And so, so you're living in this house, and you thought that the bed thing was a little bit odd, but you're like, whatever, like this is a ridiculous deal. And honestly, the bed is pretty goddamn comfortable. And the reason that the bed is part of it is that it's like bolted to the wall and bolted to the ground. You really can't move it without doing some very extensive, construction or whatever.
Well, I just bought a house for $17,000. I think I would go to the bank and get a loan to rip that motherfucker out of there. I don't want to use this guy's bed. I don't want to sleep on this guy's mattress.
You think about doing that, but those fucking sheets, they just like
change those sheets eventually.
Yeah, I mean that's what you think, but these are like the new kind of sheets where they're self-cleaning bed sheets. It's like a new thing, and they provide it for you. That's actually part of the cost of $17,000, and so you kind of like you wake up and like I said, you're stretching out and you kind of curl those. You have like a bed sheet on top too, that you curl around your fucking body. And for just a second, it feels like you're back in the womb.
Gross.
Get out of bed. And, you know, you kind of go about your day. You have a pretty busy day. You got to go into work. And after that, you know, probably work on some writing, stuff like that. So you go about your day. You get home that night and you are beat. You like you're not even going to have dinner. You know what I mean? You're just going to go the fuck to bed. Okay. So you get ready for bed, you know, you brush those fucking chompers of yours and you look at yourself like you make eye contact, like in the mirror as you do it, scrub those fucking teeth as you just kind of think about your day and think about what you're going to do tomorrow. You know, you crawl into bed and man, those fucking sheets, even though you're exhausted, you think you're kind of like, you're like, I'm going to stay awake for a second just to appreciate the way that these sheets feel against my naked skin. You start to drift off to sleep. And suddenly you hear a voice.
What the fuck?
From underneath the bed.
God damn it. That's why I didn't want this fucking bed.
You hear this like kind of like weird, like sort of like bizarre kind of voice speak up. It's like, hello, Aaron. It's, I'm the monster under your bed.
What a fucking terrifying moment.
He goes, no, don't worry about it. He goes, the one in the closet is the one that you got to worry about. He's going to make contact with you. He's going to talk to you, but just don't listen to him. Okay. I got your back on this. We'll talk later. The voice goes silent. The room somehow gets even more dark.
I'm not sleeping in that room. I'm not sleeping on that fucking bed. I'm grabbing my pillows and my blanket and I'm going to go stay on the couch. I'm not fucking staying in that room. Are you shitting me?
Sure. So, you're like, what the fuck? You're like really freaking out. And so you grab that pillow and as you stretch to grab that pillow, you're like, side of like your nipple like touches the those silky sheets of yours, and the sensation that it like makes just puts you instantly to sleep.
I hate this bed so much. I hate this bed.
So you fall asleep like instantly.
That and suddenly fucking sucks.
Suddenly you like are jerked at like something, you like jerk awake. You know what I mean? You look over at like the clock. It's 3:07. You hear this voice coming from your closet. Your closet also is like shining like gold from like
not,
a gold light.
I'm not staying in that room.
Hold on.
I'm not staying in that room. As soon as I am jerked out of sleep and I hear a voice coming from a closet that is shining golden light, I'm getting the fuck out of there.
You get up and you like jump out of bed and you hear from the closet, you hear like a, hello, Aaron. I'm the monster in your closet, David.
Jesus Christ. I don't want he goes, any.
Do you have a moment to talk?
I don't even acknowledge it. I just run away. I just run away.
As you run, you hear him go, he got to you, didn't he? The door won't open.
It doesn't matter. If you got to me, you are terrifying in your own right.
Yeah.
No outside influence is needed for me to be terrified of you. I'm yanking on that fucking door.
You yank on that door and like it doesn't open. You kind of like look back to the closet and you notice that like something is like peeking its head out of that closet at you.
What the fuck, Pat?
It's kind of hard to tell what exactly it is, but you swear that it has the its face looks just like an eclipse. The door opens. You like run out of there. You jump onto that fucking couch. And you were like, what the fuck? And you just like fall back asleep.
How do I fall back asleep? How?
Because you're so terrified that you like just pass out. Like you pass out of fear. You haven't done this since you were a kid.
This sucks.
So you wake up the next day and you're like, not quite sure if like you wake up on the couch and you're like, well, how the hell did I get down here? And you go, oh, right. The monsters.
Yeah. The two monsters. Oh, yeah. Hang on a second. What was it again? The two fucking monsters.
And so
in that bed that I fall asleep immediately on. I'm not going to that room ever again.
Sure.
And I'm calling the realtor. I'm getting out of this.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
So you get up and you're like, holy fuck, like you're really freaked out.
Yeah.
There's a knock on your door. What do you do?
I go to the door, I guess.
So you open your door and standing on your front porch is this guy. He's wearing like a purple like wizard's robe, you know, and he's got like the classic wizard hat, stuff, shit like that. You know, he's got his staff of infinite sorrows, and all over this guy's suit, or robes rather, are like the face of like a raven, basically.
Yeah.
He's like, hello, Aaron. I'm the Wizard of Baltimore. The Wizard of Baltimore is standing in front of you. And also, this guy's accent, he has the worst Maryland accent that you have ever heard in your fucking life. There is no dignity in the way this man speaks. You wouldn't wish this accent on like your worst enemy. So
the fuck does he want?
He's like, hey, Aaron, see you, boy. And he takes out a can of like National Bohemian and he opens it, the beer, and he kind of like gestures towards you like, you want some?
No.
He goes, all right, hun. And he like gulps the entire fucking can. He crushes it in his hand. And when he opens it, it's just like gone.
Jesus Christ.
He goes, magic, hun. And he goes,
I go, what the fuck do you want? All you've done is just drink a beer on my porch in the early morning. And then he crushed the remnants of the can out of existence. What do you want?
He goes, oh no, sorry, hun. He goes on to tell you that he's aware of the conflict in your bedroom between the monster under your bed and the monster in your closet. He goes, Aaron. He goes, I can help you out, hun. Again, this man's accent is something that you want to like report to someone. You don't know who exactly, but someone in authority, someone should be punished.
Jesus Christ.
He goes,
I go, what are you getting at?
He goes, I can help you out. It's a sure thing. Almost as sure as saying that Cal Ripken's the best shortstop who's ever lived.
I mean, he's not. He's not.
He goes, now you're really talking crazy. Anyway, so he goes on to, he basically goes, I can help you, Aaron. I can make their war go away.
How do you propose we do that?
He goes, I'm magic, hun. Remember the beer can? And then when he opens his like fist, there's like a full fucking beer there.
Great.
He goes, it's magic, Natty Boo. Chugs the entire fucking thing. This time he just throws it over his fucking shoulder.
I go, number one, pick that up letters. Out of my fucking yard. Like, come on, dude.
He goes,
I just bought this house.
He goes, sorry, hun. He snaps his fingers. It just fucking disappears.
Great.
He goes, I'm magic. He goes, He goes, you think I haven't dealt with a monster under the bed?
Sure you have. What do you want from me?
And you kind of look at him, and the fucking eyes on those ravens, it's almost like they all look at you. They're all looking directly at you.
Horrifying. I see all the birds on your cloak are staring at me. What do you need?
He's got a can of Old Bay seasoning in his hand. He just fucking like...
Tell me what you fucking want.
Put some in his mouth and kind of goes...
God.
He goes, like, tastes it and he goes, oh, there ain't nothing like some Old Bay. And he God. Goes...
He goes, you are anyway, the worst communicator I've ever met in my entire life.
He goes, oh, I'm sorry, hon. He goes, it must be the Natty Bow. There's another one in his hand. He just shuts it.
How many of those have you had, Wizard of Baltimore?
He goes. He basically goes on to tell you that as a wizard, he can't use technology. So he needs you to just do something for him, like do a favor for him with technology, something that he can't do. He's like, I'm trying to contact, I need to like send a very important email. He goes, if you help me out, hun, if you send that email, I'll make the monsters go away.
What, you just want me to send an email?
He goes, yep.
From my account? Are you signing in to like one of my devices?
No, you're signing into one of the many email addresses that he has scattered across the country.
On my device. I'm like pulling up my computer and we're logging into his email account and we're going to send an email from my computer.
He goes, well, I guess you could go to the library.
I have a computer right here. I don't want to make a trip. I don't want to extend this.
But he's saying like you don't have to use your personal device. You can use it.
Yeah, I'll just send it. I'll log into his email and let's send this motherfucker so he can get rid of these monsters and I can enjoy my gigantic bed alone.
He goes, all right. He sticks out his hand to like seal the deal. Do you shake it?
No. I go, I'm not a big handshake guy. Sorry.
So he kind of just goes like, he like holds it for like just a second too long. And then he's like, all right, that's okay, Aaron. He goes, by the way, before I go, he goes, who's your favorite ball? Who's your favorite team? He goes, I like the Baltimore Orioles. Who you got?
So I grew up a St. Louis Cardinals fan.
And he goes, he kind of looks at you and he goes, well, from a bird lover to another bird lover, good luck on the upcoming season, hun. He winks at you. For a moment, you can almost taste crab cake on your tongue.
I don't know what that means.
So he goes upstairs and do you go with him to watch him?
No, yeah. I say wait right here, and I'm bringing my computer down to him. I don't want this guy roaming around in my house.
Well, he's going to go, you know, exercise the, the monsters.
Oh, okay. I thought he was going to send an email.
Oh,
then,
no.
Yeah,
no.
Then I would lead him upstairs to my room, and I would say, here's the room. Please get rid of these motherfuckers.
He walks in, and he looks over the bed, and he goes, and that's the bed.
Yeah.
He goes, okay, cool. He walks over to the bed and he kind of like leans over and he's like, hey, get out of there, hon. You know who I am. You're going to want to just get going. Come on. Don't turn this into a thing, hon. And then you hear like a noise come from underneath the bed and like this weird like green vapor comes up out of it. And he goes, oh, don't mind that. That just happens when they go through the gateways. And he kind of like takes out from underneath his robe, he takes out like a small miniature fan and like, you know, blows the vapor away. It doesn't really smell like anything. And he goes, oh, he was right to leave and not cause a fuss here with me. He just kind of like laughs and he just goes, oh, that would have been fun though. And there's a glint in this motherfucker's eye.
Oh, shit.
walks over to the closet, sticks his head, and he's like, "All right, you know how this is gonna go, so just get gone, hun." There's a sound, and now like blue vapor comes out. He takes his fan up and like it blows away. His fan is the exact same purple hue as his fucking robe.
Sure.
He turns around. He's like, "All right, well, took care of that." He goes, "Do you want to, I don't know, spend the night, make sure? Like, do you trust me?" He goes, "What?
I don't want you to spend the night. I thank you for your help."
He goes,
"But I don't really want you to spend the night. Can you, what gateways are they talking about? Are there gateways here? Can you close them?"
He's like, "Hey, of course, hon." He snaps his fingers and he's like, "I guess there's no proof, but I mean, you saw me snap my fingers, so."
"Yeah, I'm going to choose to believe you."
Yeah. So he's like, "All right, so I got an email to send." He goes, "How you want to do this, hon?"
I walk him down to my computer. I take it downstairs and we'll just sit down and fucking sign him in.
So his email address is W-O-Balmore, B-A-L apostrophe M-O-R-E.
Okay.
4269@AOL.com.
Okay.
And he goes, he whispers, and like you're like, why is he whispering this to me? But he still does. He just kind of feels weird, I guess, giving his password. He goes,
"He can just type it in. I don't need to."
He can't use tech. You can't use technology.
Oh, he can't even. Okay.
No. And so he like whispers and he goes, "The password is fuck." Capital K, hon.
Fuck with a capital K. That's his password.
Yeah, I guess so. So you put it in, it works. And he you go to like the email, and there's like there's nothing in the inbox or anything. And you go to compose, and he has you send an email to this person. BFJ@LanilaxMail.com. Subject: "Hey, hon." He like dictates this to you, and then the body, yeah. It says, "We're go for plan A, comma, release the bats now from ?" And then underneath that, in parentheses, "The Wizard of Baltimore."
I don't feel comfortable with this. So, I feel like this is a setup.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do I mean? Something terrible is going to happen when I send this email.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, do you ask him?
Yeah. I go, "What is plan A?"
He goes,
"What do you mean by release the bats now?"
He kind of looks at you and he goes, "Are you sure you want me to tell you, Aaron?"
"Yeah, I want to know what I'm fucking executing here."
Yeah.
"What do you..."
So he goes,
"I'm getting fucked on this."
He goes, "All right, I'm going to be honest with you, Aaron. Plan A is we go to laser tag." He goes, "Plan B is bowling. B for bowling.
L for laser tag."
No, A.
A for laser tag.
Plan A.
Yeah, A for laser tag.
Yeah, but the A is capitalized, I guess.
Okay.
He goes, anyway. He goes, that's it. He
Fine.
goes, you,
I
you,
send that. I
he
send.
goes,
I send that.
you crack the code, Aaron. He chugs another fucking can of Natty Bow. This time a tall boy. You didn't even know they had those.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't. I go, okay, well, thank you for getting rid of those monsters. I hope you have a good laser tag sesh.
He's like, thanks, Aaron. He's like, you want to come?
No. No thanks.
He goes, all right. Appreciate it. He goes, absolutely, Aaron. He goes, you won't have any more trouble with them monsters.
Thank you.
He goes, bye. He leaves.
Bye.
And you kind of like look up at your fucking bedroom. Do you investigate it again? What do you do?
I mean, I think I would like take a step in there and just like feel it out, you know?
Yeah.
But ultimately, I'm just going to wait and then go back to bed at night.
And so you do. You kind of like hang out there. You get some work done. And after a while, you kind of just forget about, you know, the monsters, you know, you go to sleep, nothing, you dream of a howling void, but you wake up the next day, there's no, you know, nothing like that happens.
Great. What a simple transaction.
Yeah. You kind of think that to yourself. You hop out of bed and you go downstairs to make your ideal breakfast.
Yeah.
Crispy bacon. Eggs over easy. Hash browns with just a hint of cinnamon.
Cinnamon in my hash browns?
Just a hint.
That's
it's
wild,
a Pat. it's a Dupo favorite.
Oh, okay, now it makes sense.
So you walk over to the stairs, and there was a can, one of the tall boy actually, of Natty Bow that was left behind that I guess he just forgot about, and you don't see it. And you step on it and you go, whoa, and you fall forward.
What the fuck?
And you break your neck on the first.
Are you fucking kidding me?
There at the top. And you kind of go like, whoa, man? And just stumble down. Not stumble down,
whoa.
But tumble.
Broke my neck and I went, whoa.
Yeah, you tumble down the rest of the stairs. You go, whoa, because you kind of like, after you break your neck, you're like, oh no. But you kind of like go, whoa, and go like flying, like past like five or six stairs. So you kind of go through the air like that. And you kind of think to yourself, even though you just broke your neck, you think to yourself like, holy shit, this is what living feels like as you soar through the air.
With my broken fucking neck. Are you kidding me?
And then you land on another step and just like, you know, you crack your skull and then you land at the bottom and you just die.
Jesus. God damn.
The Wizard of Baltimore goes on to play the best game of laser tag of his life.
I don't fucking care. What an asshole. What? Pick up after yourself.
Yeah, I guess he had like five or six of them. So I guess he just got drunk and forgot, and then went on and just had the fucking time of his life at the fucking laser tag.
Well, I'm fucking bleeding out of the base of my stairs, hole in my skull, cracking my neck.
The monsters are gone, at least.
I don't fucking care. So am I.
The Realty Group, they end up reselling it to somebody else for $17,001.